Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Thank you, Dave. Let's see what Ian McNulty's up to here on this Friday morning. He, of course, is our friend. He covers New Orleans dining and food culture for the Times-Picayune, the New Orleans Advocate. Boy, I could sure use a cocktail right now. Ian, what would you recommend?
I hear the indistinct rumble of a cocktail shaker in your future, Tommy.
Mm-hmm.
Or perhaps the indistinct rumble of stomach grumbling for a good Friday lunch. Hey, great to
Maybe
be back with you. Thanks so much for having me on.
Thanks for coming on. You may hear just, you know, the gurgling of a couple of fingers of a nice bourbon poured neat, but that's neither here or there. What's new in the restaurant scene this week?
Well, brother, the heat is on. You know, you heard the weather report on the break there, and it is, there's no doubt about it. You know, I mean, it's hot, it's sticky, it's summer, and we're in the middle of it. And, you know, it got me thinking. Summer in New Orleans is always a slog, but at least it's predictable, you know, in the restaurant business I'm talking about. You know, what usually happens is you go through the big, long party stretch, carnival into festival season, and then, you know, everything just slows down in the summer, and then everyone kind of holds their breath for the fall, right? And this year it's all so hard to read. It's so mixed up. There was no carnival, really. There was no festival season. Everything was slow. Then places started opening up in the spring, and you go out now and places are busy, right? I mean, places are booked up, but it's not like a boom time, but it's also not like a regular summer. It's actually kind of weird out there, Tommy, I gotta say, for a lot of the complex reasons that you and I have talked about through the weeks, you know, whether it's staffing, it's demand, it's people getting out because they are vaccinated again. Now there's a little worry, there's concern, certainly concern about the Delta variant, changes in some of the rules coming around, or the advisories at least. So it's a confusing summer, but all that is to say, go with your gut, right? I mean, I've seen restaurant people just saying, you know, we're going to do with the things that we normally do in the summer that we know our customers like. We're gonna stick with these specials that we know they like. We're going to roll out these special deals that we always do this time of year because this is when we see, you know, this is when we usually ask our local customers to come out and support us. We're still going to do that, and we're going to ask them to kind of meet us halfway and work with us. So you've probably seen stuff about Culinary, that big citywide dining promotion. That started up. That started up the middle of July. It started earlier, runs longer, runs through early September. And in addition to that, I mean, places are doing their own deals. There's all kinds of special events that are happening. It's like that part of the summer rhythm the restaurants don't want to let go of because they just see it as a good way to get their best customers in the door, right? Their locals, the people they're trying to reconnect with through all this. So it's hot, confusing, but also pretty dang interesting out there, sir.
Mm-hmm. We talked earlier this week, Ian, about a story that an NPR story about how many people that were in the restaurant industry said, you know what, enough. I'm tired of customers yelling at me. I'm tired of the stress. Mm-hmm. I'm tired of the hours. And they moved on to different things. And we talked to Tommy Stanovich, and I think we talked to another restaurant owner. It's been a busy week. Mm-hmm. About anecdotal stories of people that have been with them for a long time. Are you hearing stories like this from restaurant owners of long, long time employees that just said, no, I'm not coming back?
Absolutely, yeah. That is. I mean, part of it is what you mentioned. You know, I mean, this has been a really tough time to be in the business, and you know, some people have said, okay, yeah, I'm not, I'm not here for the mask wars. I'm not here to have you take out your whatever conspiracy theory you read on the internet, bringing it into my restaurant and having to have that be part of my work day. You know, the public interaction has been a different dynamic to all of us, right?
I didn't even think about that. But I would imagine, I guess, wait staff, if they were wearing a mask or whatever, somebody would grind their political axe. Why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? That kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, think about those types of people, right? They really don't have many other people to talk to in their lives because of manifestly who they are, absorbing all that stuff and wanting to spout it back at people. So here comes the poor service staff, and it's their job to talk to you and take your order and be nice, but they take it out on them because they have to. You know, it's a pretty unfair situation. But
Do you think the average person, Ian, has any idea what it's like to wait tables? And would we all be better restaurant customers if we would? To do that just for a week.
Well, a job in hospitality is, I mean, it really, you know, people make great careers out of it, but it's also good training. I mean, it's social interaction, it's teamwork, it's working with people, there's a lot that, one of the reasons why we are so fascinated as a society, as people, with our restaurant scene is because so much flows through it. It's not just what's on the plate. That whole, you know, social ballet and interaction of it all. It's the design of the place. It's the ideas. It's the people. You know, that's why we love them. That's why they're so interesting. Also so complex. That's an unending source of fascination. So you get on the inside of that, yeah, you're going to learn some stuff. But, Tommy, I think bigger picture is, a lot of people get into the restaurant business. They get a job. Let's say they get a job in a restaurant or a bar, and they expect it to last for a certain number of years, and they have plans to do something else one day. And then one day arrived for everybody when everything got shut down all at once. And so are you coming back to this? Are you going to – was that the line in the sand? Okay, well, that's what I did before this. Now I'm going on to do this other thing. Those of us who were here through Katrina, you remember what a line in the sand Katrina was, right? Everything was pre-Katrina, post-Katrina. Well, after Katrina, I decided to go back to school. After Katrina, I decided to get serious with my business plan. After Katrina, I decided to move to this other city. After Katrina, I decided to go back home. A lot of that happened through the pandemic when everything just stopped. No one knew what was going to happen next. And, there was a lot of reassessment. Now, what I'm also hearing, though, from the restaurant business is that, it's also a time when a lot of new talent is coming in, new people are coming in. There's a new, younger generation coming up. A lot of people who had jobs that were maybe in, mid-management, some of these restaurants and companies, if they did move on, that means space to move up. And restaurant people are, that's been the story for a long time now, furiously trying to hire. And they're not necessarily looking for people with 3-4 years of experience on their resumes. Even at some top restaurants, they're saying, send us good people. Send us people who are nice, who can learn, who are open-minded, who can communicate with other people. We can train them on the nuts and bolts of this thing and set them on a path to rise up in this career. So there's a lot. It's a lot of turnover. It's a lot of change. You're seeing a lot of people working these restaurants who are not just new at that restaurant, but new in the business, right? And that's just part of it. That's just where we are in this thing. And it's, observe it, acknowledge it, be grateful that we're getting back to doing these things. And, we're writing the history of this stuff right now before our eyes. So this is all part of the process.
I wanted to talk to you about this because I had a conversation with somebody whose name I won't mention that was complaining about inaccuracy of wait times. So they went to one restaurant, and it was taking a little bit longer than they thought it would. So they went to another restaurant, and while they were eating at the other restaurant, they got the text from the first restaurant saying that their table was ready. And I asked this person, well, did you tell the restaurant that you were leaving? And they said, no. And I said, well, you contributed then to everybody from that point on getting an inaccurate wait time.
Uh-huh.
Is that right? And do people kind of realize how their actions, what they do or don't do, affect the level of service they get, maybe advertently or inadvertently, if advertently is a word?
Absolutely. I compare it to, you ever in your car and you're driving along, you see somebody on a bike doing something kind of dumb, or a pedestrian steps out into the street without looking, and you're like, God, these people, God, I'm trying to drive here, And then the next day, you're on your bicycle or you're the pedestrian, and you see somebody in their car just wasn't looking, came whipping around the corner. You're like, God, I'm just trying to walk and pedal here. These people in cars. People's perspective changes radically, whether they're the person waiting or they're the person at the table, right? Because somebody else is always wrong. Somebody else is always doing it wrong. You got to take the big picture. You got to step back a little bit. You just got to take a pause and ask yourself, what are the stakes here, right? Just there's a civility. There's a getting along with each other. There's a you know, pausing and letting somebody pass.
But I guess what I'm getting at, Ian, if I could drill down a little bit, is when it comes to running the front of the house, there are managers walking around seeing where people are in their eating, right? They want to see if they're on dessert or this or that in terms of estimating times or reservations or what have you and getting your reservations. There is also pressure on the wait staff to turn tables because they don't want people camping and just lolling over a cup of coffee for an hour when that table could be turned and more customers could be seen.
Mm-hmm. No, that is absolutely right. I mean, it changes at different levels of restaurants, of course. There's an expectation at a higher end restaurant you're paying a lot more. You know, maybe they've sort of programmed the dining room to have two turns, right? You know, you get the early birds and you get the people showing up 7-8 o'clock. Probably not seating many people after that 7-8 o'clock seating. You know, you look at your smaller, faster, more casual places. That's, you know, get them in, get them out. Yeah. I've seen places, you know, they'll say, no, we don't have Wi-Fi. We don't want you opening up your laptop here. You came for a burrito and you stayed for a conference call. Mm-hmm. We don't want that.
No Zoom meetings, right? Go have your Zoom meeting somewhere else.
Yeah, right. Yeah, but, you know, then again, some coffee shops specifically do encourage that kind of stuff. But Tommy, this is funny. There was a restaurant, and it was in the Lower Garden District. It's closed now. It was called the Blue Plate. It was a nice place, nice breakfast lunch place. But the chef there, she told me, she purposely had bad coffee on the menu because she didn't want people hanging out over that second cup.
That's brilliant. That is brilliant.
And she was right. It was bad coffee. You know, you just thought, okay, the food's really good, but yeah, I'm gonna get that coffee down the street. At CC's or PJ's or something.
That's a great idea.
Linger over the second cup, right?
How was the food? Great, but the coffee was terrible. Don't order the coffee. Just get a drink with your dessert. Real quick, in terms of etiquette, somebody texted this in, and I think it's a great question because it's something we struggle with. If a place closes at 9 or 9:30, they don't want you coming in at 9:25, or do they? Do they? How does all of that work? Because I don't want anybody angry that I'm eating there, but yet I don't want to not give them the business if they would like to have it.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, I think it depends. It depends on the kind of place, you know. I mean, generally speaking, if you're talking about a, you know, a nice full service sit down restaurant, they may have posted hours to say we're open from 4 to 10, right?
Okay.
10 means they're closed. They're putting the tables up. They're putting the chairs up on the table.
Right.
Not our last reservation is at 10.
Letting the last people out and locking the door behind them.
Exactly. And that's, you know, that's when you're calling and making reservations, you know, or checking online on the website, you know, however you interact with the restaurant, you know, that can be pretty clear. Like, oh, there's no reservations available at 9:30. You know, our last one was at 8:30. It's a little harder to read the places that don't take reservations, right? Because what reservations do is just, you know, they set the expectations for both sides of the transaction, of the meal. It is a little harder to read, though, yes, if it's, let's say you're going to your favorite taco spot or, your favorite burger joint. But then, you know, those are faster turn kind of places, too. I think you just kind of have to read the situation, you know. Do you know this place? Like, you know, is it a place that's pretty lively right up until the end? Or is it, you know, do they really do all their business at 7 o'clock? I can't give this person a hard and fast rule, but I will say for places with reservations, it can be very clear about what they're taking, what they're allowing. Other places, you might have to read the room.
Yeah, it's kind of tough because you don't know. You don't want to, you know, somebody texted in, if I'm the owner, I would stay open as needed. And then again, you know, it might be the other way around where maybe you should subtract the time that it would take you to eat from the time they close, and that's the latest you should go in there. Ian, it's been a pleasure, my friend, as always. I hope you have a great, great weekend. Stay cool, stay inside, and we'll talk to you next week.
Tommy, I hear that cocktail shaker from here, baby. Get it going.
Amen.
Friday. Thanks.
You got it. Thank you. Get that blender going, too. Ian McNulty covers New Orleans dining and food culture for the Times-Picayune, New Orleans Advocate. Pelicans. I called him Hornets earlier. The Pelicans have a new coach. We'll talk with Jeff Nowak about that in a little bit. I'm Tommy Tucker. We'll be back in a flash here on WWL.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.